And we hope that you are. We're glad to be back with you. It is Sunday night, and we're glad to be with you in your weekly Pharisee Free Zone. You are listening now back again to Tal Prince Live. I am Tal Prince, and I am, last I checked, alive. Seated next to me is my lovely wife, Teresa. Let me just go ahead and welcome her. Baby, how are you this evening?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Just a little stress in the voice. I'm just detecting that right now, but anyway, so we've had a fun few minutes here, and as we get going, and we do want to go ahead and invite you into our live blog tonight. That is now back over at talprincelive.com. Go back over there, go to talprincelive.com. Very first thing you ought to see at the top of that list is join the live blog. So click into that, and we will see you in the live blog. Let me go ahead and cue you up and tell you what our topic is for tonight. This is a serious one, but one, and not that we handle many light and airy topics here. You know, usually what we do is pretty serious, but we have fun while doing it.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Tonight, issues, and there are miscarriage issues that causes great and deep pain for people, you know, all over the kingdom and all over this world. And so we want to talk about that tonight. It often goes overlooked, because have you ever known somebody that had a miscarriage and not known what to say? And really, sadly, a lot of us just think, well, I mean, it's not like it was, you know, it's not like the baby was born. So, and we fail to realize the deep pain of loss, that there is a loss of life and that there is a grief process. And a lot of us blow right past that. And so we're going to talk about so we're going to give you a lot of resources tonight. We're going to talk about this, talk about how to, you know, help people, how to talk with people, how to deal with it if this is you, for miscarriages. And we're going to talk about infertility, because that's more in Teresa and I's world. And so we're going to talk about that. And we have a very special guest with which to handle such a delicate topic.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Alice Chernock. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
That was a little Seinfeldian. It was like, hello.
I was going for Mrs. Doubtfire, but Seinfeld, that works.
Yeah, Seinfeld, that's an upgrade.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. So Alice is back, so I'm sure Garrett's going to throw in some Michael Bolton bumper, and we'll deal with that as it goes.
I've got so many bumper requests coming through from the chicks over here.
That's right.
I don't have any time for Michael Bolton.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Teresa's jamming you up with them. And so anyway, this is going to be a serious one. So, and again, most of our shows are, but we're going to have a good time while we talk about it. It's going to be very helpful. So if you have ever experienced this, this is a show for you to listen to. If you know of anybody who has experienced this, and you do, you need to get them on the horn and get them in here to familynetradio.com. Listen to this. Download the app on their iPhone so they can listen to this, and then get to the live blog, talprincelive.com. Jump in the live blog with us so you can join the discussion and interact with us as we go. And if I've got any friends from Houston, Texas listening, thank you so much. Man, y'all were great this week. We had a great time Tuesday night down at the Church Without Walls in Houston, Texas. And y'all were so good to us, and we had a great time. And I did watch y'all again this morning, and I saw the Caucasian Barry White in the pulpit. And so I know y'all had a good time with him. And so thanks for coming out tonight, and thanks for listening, and thanks for coming out Tuesday night and being so, so kind and gracious to us. Man, we had a great time, and hope to be back sometime soon. And I'll see your pastor this week, as he's up here in Birmingham, Alabama, if you were wondering where he was. I'll see him this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing Pass Ralph Douglas West. So here we go. Tonight, infertility and miscarriages. So if you know anybody, get them on the horn and get them here to familynetradio.com and get them to talprincelive.com if they've got questions. That way we can take questions in the live blog, and we will be with you on this. Alice Chernock in the house. We're going to talk about it tonight. So thank y'all for listening. And you're listening to Tal Prince Live on FamilyNetRadio.com. We will be right back.
Didn't even know my name.
All right.
You
love me just the same. Is that Scotty McCreery? A little American Idol reference for you. I have no idea who that was. Not a big country music listener. So here we are. It's Al Prince Live, familynetradio.com, and we're glad to have you with us tonight. Again, very serious issue, one that is really not talked about enough in evangelical circles, one that we don't really deal with and talk about very often. A lot of times because, like the issues we normally deal with here, it's kind of awkward. No one really knows what to say. And so we're going to try and get some help with that tonight. And so very, very thankful to have our dear friend and counselor extraordinaire,
ooh,
Alice Chernock, back in the house tonight. we made a deal for monthly in May.
We did.
And then she screwed us in June.
No. Wow. I know. But I brought my calendar with us tonight. No lie, I brought my calendar.
That's what I'm talking about.
So and he even gave the heads up before the show, but he's still...
Oh!
I'm teaming up with Alice on this one.
Oh, thank you. See?
Wait, I was looking at...
You might have missed when she said, I want to talk about the show afterwards, your plans.
See? Mm.
That's what I was working on things that were bothering you.
Right.
So I was just helping my wife out.
Good husband.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you noticed that. I don't know if my wife is, but thank you for noticing.
No.
Okay, so Alice, let's talk to you and bring you in on this right away. Why is this kind of a... Because when we asked, what would you like to talk about this week? I mean, this is what you came up with. So why is this an issue that is close to your heart?
Well, and it was great because when you asked, when we were, you know, talking about what to talk about this week, it was a very quick, you know, sometimes we kind of go back and forth. Oh, I don't know. We could talk about this. We could talk about that. But to me, it was a very quick impulse that we need to talk about infertility. We need to talk about miscarriages. I think for me as a counselor, but as a woman, more than anything, it's come up. It's come across my path, various family members, very good friends. As a counselor, I have clients all the time in my office who are also dealing with this. And so I think that I take that. But then really I have to boil it down to the personal level. And so personally, this is something that hits me very, very home, close to home, because I've struggled with infertility for probably 4 years. In the midst of those 4 years, I was able to get pregnant. And then a few weeks in at the ultrasound, there was no heartbeat. Wow. And so I ended up having a miscarriage too. And so I think that it's something that women don't understand, men and women don't understand unless you have gone through the pain. I think it hits home on such a deep personal level. I was thinking as I've walked through my own journey of this, going through Genesis and thinking about the fall and how Eve was cursed through the pain of childbearing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's just a physical pain of childbearing.
Wow.
I think that that hits so emotionally home of what a woman's curse is. You know, I think a woman by nature, by design, was created to be a nurturer and a caregiver and, you know, someone who could be a mother figure, whether she's actually literally a mother, but a mother figure.
Yeah.
I think that that's how we were created. And so when we feel like that opportunity has been robbed and it is really, you feel, you know, robbed of that privilege. There's a whole lot of emotion and pain. I think that, I mean, I could just go on and on about this, but I think that one of the reasons why we don't talk about this more than we do is because the pain is unbelievable. It is the deepest, darkest pain I can honestly say I've ever dealt with in my life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I have dealt with friends, you know, I've had people pass away. I've dealt with a lot of grief and sadness on various levels, but nothing in my life compared to the infertility and the miscarriage. It was a physical pain. And even now, you know, years later, years out of this, I when I talk about it, I can still feel the gut-wrenching pain. And that's just the agony that accompanies this. I think that it's a private pain. Mm. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we don't talk about it more. I think a lot of women keep it private. Because a lot of women haven't told people that they were pregnant yet. You know?
Well, you always hear, wait till after 12 weeks.
Right, exactly, exactly. And so on one hand, people didn't necessarily know to expect or to pray for you or to have a heads up that you could be dealing with this. And so there's that awkward question of, hey, do I suddenly announce, by the way, I was pregnant and I just had a miscarriage? You know, that's a really awkward, how do you bring that up?
Right.
So you have that private side of it. And then on the other hand, if you were one of the ones like myself who was absolutely elated to find out that I was finally pregnant, to feel like God finally heard my cries, heard my prayers after years of doing various infertility treatments, to finally want to shout from the mountaintops that I was pregnant, and then to lose that child.
Right.
It's humiliating. It's devastating. And I remember feeling foolish.
Wow.
I remember feeling so foolish.
Wow.
For rejoicing in what God had done in my life. I remember feeling foolish for being excited about something that didn't pan out.
Wow.
And so I think that this is such a complicated, twisted issue that doesn't get talked about enough, especially not in Christian circles. I think it also leads to the question of why. You know, I mean, in life and in death, there's mystery. And when we deal with mystery, we are pointed back to Christ and just the question of why? And I remember feeling like God was dangling a carrot in front of my face, you know, like, ha ha ha, I'm going to let you get pregnant, but not really, but I'm not going to let it sustain, you know? And I just remember having those anger emotions towards God of, how dare you do this to me? You know, why? So I think that it's a sticky topic also, especially in Christian circles, because we're often not given the freedom to question God and to be angry with God. So when you asked me this, I think that, you know, from my rant just there.
We love it.
I have a lot of reasons why I want to talk about this topic.
Yeah, it seems a little pent up.
No, exactly. But you know what, Tal? I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you had told me 2 years ago that I would be on a radio show talking about the deepest pain that I've ever experienced in my life, I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
But that is the testimony to how God is good.
Yeah.
And how healing does occur. It still hurts. You know, I tell my clients all the time, you're not going to get over this.
Yeah.
But you are going to get through it. And there's a really big difference between getting over something and getting through it. You know?
I really appreciate that. And several things you said in there just hadn't really considered. I mean, really, personally, I've never considered the, you know, well, that window of time where you don't, where most people don't tell anybody that we're pregnant, you know, so you kind of wait that period out. And so then how do you bring that up? I mean, how do you even let anybody know you had a miscarriage because you didn't let anybody know you were pregnant in the first place? I hadn't thought about that. Difficult a place.
Yeah, it's a hard dynamic. It really is a hard dynamic. And it's one that typically the mom feels more strongly than the dad. Because it's her body. She notices the changes. Let me tell you, when a woman is pregnant, she thinks about it all the time. There's nothing else on her mind. She is all the time thinking about it. And so for however long until the pregnancy is officially ended, that's all she has gotten excited about and thought about, and her dreams of what's going to happen and, you know, where this is going to go and getting to tell people and what the nursery is going to look like. And, you know, all of the excitement that goes along with it in a moment is just completely dashed. And so I think that I just think it's a hard subject for women to talk about.
But, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, though, finding women. I feel like after I did have my miscarriage and people did know about it, I felt like women started coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
Telling me their story, you know, and saying, hey, I've been there. And I just want to scream, why didn't anybody say that beforehand? You know, why are we shying away from this topic? It is painful and it is deep.
Yeah.
But it certainly needs to be addressed.
And I think it's relevant even for people who maybe haven't struggled with miscarriage or infertility
right.
yet. If you think about what makes you feel foolish, what is that thing that you try not to let people know about mm-hmm. you? I mean, for me, it was codependency. Yeah. And when I shared, people came out of the woodwork.
Yes.
Just like you said. I mean, I think there's those things, and it's such a personal,
yes.
Just painful place. And our mind runs wild.
Yes, yes.
And when you speak it, it's almost like it puts the reins on your,
yeah.
you know, imagination just a bit.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I think it goes into the thing that the God that we worship is a God of clarity mm-hmm. and not a God of chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me was something that I really had to wrestle with in the midst of chaos, absolute mm-hmm. chaos. My world was turned upside down. I had weeks that I literally did not get out of bed.
Yeah.
And that's not me.
Right.
You know, I'm not at all like that. And so to experience something so painful,
yeah.
it tends to isolate
mm-hmm.
you, which is one of the hardest things to do. You know, that's mm-hmm. I think Satan would love nothing more
oh, yeah.
right.
than to isolate people mm-hmm. away from other believers.
Yeah, one of the key things that I want to, you know, let our listeners hear and rehear, you know, and Alice has said this, and Teresa has hit around this, that, I mean, here's the deal, that God has paid with Jesus for us to be able to question and wrestle with him.
Yes.
You know, go back to Jeremiah when you said, I felt humiliated. I felt mm-hmm. like God had humiliated me.
Yes.
And was holding a carrot out in front of me. You know, you go back to Jeremiah where he's in this rant with God, and he really says, you seduced me and you mm-hmm. raped me.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, here's Jeremiah, God's mouthpiece to his people, yelling and ranting at God, saying, you raped me.
Yeah.
You know, you have got to be able to express your heart to God, knowing that you're going to probably, you know, you need to get that out. But God wants to talk with you about that.
Yeah, we do have the freedom. I was comforted by Jacob and how Jacob literally wrestled with God, you know, and how beautiful a picture that is, that we have the freedom to wrestle with mm-hmm. God. And I got to tell you, for this is an ongoing thing for yeah. me. You know, I mean, I wrestled with God for years mm-hmm. over this. Mm-hmm. Praise God, I did have people around me, and that's something yeah. I would absolutely encourage you if you're going through this.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go through this alone. But I had people around me who could pray for me
uh-huh.
when I couldn't pray myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I was so deeply entrenched in my own depression and sadness that I couldn't pray for myself.
Yeah.
I had other people who were there for me.
Part of that fellowship, the desire to
Absolutely.
Protect you. You know, I mean, that's a key concept.
It is.
And to know that there's a group of people that are on their knees for you. Because
standing
knowing,
in the gap.
Knowing you are not able right now.
Yes.
And to be able to step in
yes.
and defend and protect you that way. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we're going to go to break right quick, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to Tal Prince Live on FoundMeNetRadio.com. We'll be right back. Cry of a lot of people in the church that just want a family, you know. And I know that's our story. I mean, as you go through, I mean, anytime you're in young singles or not young singles, hopefully, but in young marrieds is what I meant to say.
Of course, Greg.
For those of you scoring at home, what I meant to say was young marrieds. But you go into young marrieds, and it's like every week. You know, here comes a box of diapers. You walk into the room, there's a box of diapers up on a table in the front of the room.
Yeah.
Diapers on deck.
That's right. And they're
exactly.
just, they're so uber chippy, and it just makes you want to kill them.
It does. But I think I think that that's a whole nother element of this mm-hmm. that we don't talk to, or we don't necessarily have the freedom
right.
to talk about, is the jealousy factor.
Yeah.
You know, that happens for women.
Yeah.
Dealing with infertility, dealing with miscarriages, all of that. There's very real jealousy that's there. I got to tell you, there was a time period, probably about 4 years. Mm. If you sent me a Christmas card, I didn't open it. It went in the trash.
Wow.
Do you know why? Because I was so tired of opening Christmas cards and seeing all the perfect, pretty little families with all their perfect little pretty children.
Wow.
And I didn't have it. And it was one more Christmas that I was still without a child.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? And so I think that that's something that we also don't talk about is that normal sense of longing, you know, that desperate longing.
And I think it's hard too, because people who know we're trying, that could be really good friends. And I've had another friend who got pregnant before her friend, and she said it was so hard because she felt awkward around her,
right?
Because she didn't want to kind of be salt in the wound. But so it's a hard place to find that I love you and I want to stay friends,
right?
But for now, it is very painful to be around. So can we stay in relationship and deal with that? I mean,
it is. And I think that this goes into the codependency stuff of having those healthy relationships and having that healthy sense of self where you can say, I love you. Just like you said, I love you. I support you. I'm going to be as happy for you as I could possibly be.
Yeah.
My limit of happiness is limited.
Yeah.
But you know, I might need to take a break.
Yeah.
You know that I love you, know that I'm here for you, but sometimes I need to step back from this relationship in order to protect myself, to set up those boundaries. I think that, I think that there's some really stupid things that people say.
Oh. And heaven help you if you adopt, and then
comments
people come out. Well, you're going to have one of your own soon.
Oh!
I've just heard once people adopt, they have one of their own.
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Uh-uh.
Oh yeah. Which the standard answer is, these are ours. We're not leasing them with an option to buy.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah, but I mean, it is. And then and some of these are very well-meaning Christian
most
people,
are.
Right?
Yes.
Most are.
Which are often the most offensive people.
I know. Can we just start a list of what not to say?
Let's go to the whiteboard, shall we?
Can we please do this? Yes. Here's one for you that I heard was, well, I know that you lost this child, but you can always have other kids.
Oh, wow.
What? Are you kidding?
Oh, jeez.
This isn't just a shirt that I just bought a new one. You know?
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
No, no, no.
Did you keep the receipt?
Like yeah, exactly. Mm. And I heard, well, I'm just glad that it happened now. It was better that it happened now than happened later. No, it wasn't. It wasn't better that it happened anyway. We live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
It's not good anytime.
I think it's great that this came up because most of the people, I think it comes out of this nervous.
Yes.
They feel like they have to say something.
Yes.
Where if they could just say,
I don't know what
beautiful
to say.
Family, or to just say, wow, is there a way I can support you?
Yes.
I really haven't been there.
I agree.
Yeah, and along that, there's a question from I don't know your name, but Mugato is in the live blog. Said, any advice for husbands trying to support their wife in the midst of a miscarriage? Because we're on a different side of that. We didn't feel the physical pain. We didn't, especially depending upon at what point that miscarriage, you still have to birth the baby, right?
Exactly,
you have to go through that process.
Yeah.
We don't know that. And so guys who very often are not the smoothest at expressing feelings and thoughts and, kind of dealing with that, how do we as men and as husbands come alongside a wife in a miscarriage and support and nurture? How do we do that?
That's a beautiful question. And husband out there who asked that, you get kudos in my book, Mugato.
Yeah.
You're my bud, man. I think that whether you're a husband or a friend or a counselor or anyone, I think that the key is to remember to speak to her heart.
Mm.
I think that a lot of times in Christian circles, we try to do this heady theological discussion of why God allows bad things to happen to people and, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a time and a place for that, mm-hmm. but it's not her head that's hurt. Mm. It's her heart.
Wow.
And so speak to her heart. You know your wife. Give her that space. Grief never happens fast enough. Never. It never, ever happens fast enough. And I think that this is something that is common. And for the friends of the couple, support this couple. Because a lot of times this does cause marital issues. Because frequently the husband does return to a state of normalcy. Can I say that? Normalcy?
Sure you can.
You know what I mean?
Sure you can.
Way faster than the wife does.
Right.
You know, give it a week or so, and probably the husband is way further along in the grief process than his wife.
And we see it too, you know, Tal and I living in the adoption world, where one spouse was ready for years to adopt.
Mm.
And the other spouse said, I can't have a child that's not, quote, my own.
Right.
Or, you know, some
right.
of those things, they just feel like I wouldn't love a child unless it was biologically matched to me.
Yeah.
And that was like an extra level of heartbreak to me, I thought, to be in relationship with those couples, because it's such a hopeless feeling. If your body's not doing what you want it to do, and then you want to do an adoption process, and your spouse is saying,
I'm not there.
I'm never going there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and so I think along that line, praying for like-mindedness.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's such a key in any marriage, but certainly as you're dealing with this, because this is something that involves the husband and the wife, and primarily those two people.
Yeah.
Of course, grandparents and other people are going to be affected by this, but really this is between a husband and a wife. And so, you know, praying for like-mindedness, continuing to hear each other's hearts.
Yeah.
Husbands recognizing that your wife may have one really crappy day, week, month, and that's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal. And honestly, it's healthy. It's healthy for her to go through this, because it says that she's moving through the grief process in a steady pace. We certainly need to seek out professional help if we feel like we're getting stuck, you know?
Yeah.
We could go through the stages of grief. That's a whole nother day. That's another topic.
Yeah.
But
here's another comment in from the live blog. Liz says that when we'd been trying for a while and we're taking fertility drugs, which is something we can talk about, my sister-in-law said they decided they wanted another child, so they were going to race with us and see who had a baby first.
Oh, wow.
Now it's a competition.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Oh,
And she got pregnant that month.
Oh.
And it was several more years before we had a baby. She has no idea how much that hurt me and my husband for her to say that.
Wow. I got nothing. I mean, I believe it.
So much of this stuff just starts to make me think about people's opinions of the value of a human life, because now the human life has become nothing more than a trophy that I'm going to hold up and say, haha, now I got this before you got it.
Right.
Or,
right.
you know, oh, well, you didn't have one then, but you'll have one again. So it's all about, it's just something that
something.
You have.
Well, and I think, where are we coming from in that place? You know, racing for anybody, racing to get a house first, racing to have a nicer car. I mean, all of those things in the end are meaningless.
Exactly.
Competition, mate. Why do you want to bring competition into, children and having a family? It's just crazy. What do you got?
Well, I would loop back to, we talked about, you know, where one spouse often is ready for adoption before the other.
Right.
And I think it can be it falls in that deep pain and, I would just say to the spouse, either one, that we have met countless who finally were around another family who had children through adoption, and they then could not wait to start.
That is awesome.
So just to encourage you, if you're that spouse and your spouse really feels a burden to adopt, and you are saying, if it's not biologically matching, I'm not a part of this,
right.
just that you might consider praying for opportunities to see families formed through adoption. It is a beautiful thing. Tal and I would not If uterus transplants were an option today, we would not go get. I would not go get one.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to piggyback on that and just say we kind of touched on community, but community is vital in this, you know. And there are we're going to give you some websites. We're going to give you some you know chat rooms, some other forums, but having that face to face friend, that personal person who can call you or that you could call at 3 a.m. that will check in on you, somebody who's going to write you a letter. You know, I have so many letters that people, random people I really didn't know very well, would send me, and they meant, and I, you know, I saved them. In coming tonight, I was looking back on some of this stuff. It's amazing the way the body of Christ reaches out to each other during times like this.
And I think that's where we see Romans 8:28, that all things do come together for good. It's not the way we would picture good. But in God's goodness, we can see good out
exactly.
of it.
Exactly, yes.
All right. We're going to jump to break. We're going to come back. We're going to give you a list of resources in the next segment. So get pen and paper handy. Or if you're at your computer, which you probably are, just type away. Get ready. You're listening to Tao Prince Live on FamilyNetRadio.com. We'll be right back. A little Anna Nalick, 2 a.m., Breathe, the name of that song, which is really, I mean, at some point, and we're just trying to figure out because we're guys, so we hadn't been at this level, but, I mean, just breathe, just next breath, focus at that point. But you know, we're talking about infertility and miscarriage, something that doesn't get talked about an awful lot, how we kind of deal with that and how we minister to each other, how we minister to our spouses, how we minister to those that we're in community with that are wrestling with this, because the church is not an easy place to be without children. It's not an easy place to be unmarried, not an easy place to be without children, because these are the expectations that are not necessarily explicit in Scripture. But it's just, oh, well, you're supposed to get married and you're supposed to have kids. And you hear people talk about kids are a blessing and they start throwing all that. And if you're in that boat where you don't have that, it's a very, very difficult place. And I know Teresa and I were for years, just like you, Alice, I mean, for years. I mean, it was not an option, you know, for us. And we didn't go through infertility treatments. You know, we just...
Didn't have a child.
You know, Teresa, and she doesn't mind me saying this, was born with no uterus, so not an option. So we, you know, we were just kind of going through. You go to Sunday school, and there's diapers on deck, and you know, and holy crap, Mother's Day. I knew my Sunday afternoon was a mess every Mother's Day, because Teresa, I mean, it was awful.
It's horrible.
It was awful. So a lot of us, and we just kind of forget those that are suffering. Quietly, and sometimes not quietly, but they're suffering and they're having a hard time.
Right.
And so that's why we're talking about this tonight. And so we're glad you're listening to us as we go. We have counselor extraordinaire Alice Chernock in the house for her monthly house call here. And I was going to just commandeer it and work my issues out on air. But we have a comment that Teresa and I wanted to kind of hit from the live blog from Anne Marie. She says, I'm entering into a stage with my daughter when she wants to know if I would have adopted her if I'd been able also to carry and give birth to a biological child. And Anne Marie, I can't tell in that if you were, you know, if you don't know how you would answer that, like if you're not sure, you know, or what. So if you want to kind of fire back and give us a little more clarification on that, that would be awesome. But let me let Teresa go ahead and wade into it a little bit.
First, hey, Anne Marie, she's a panda pal. So we waited for our first daughters together. And we talk about it on that site. We did have a group, a community to walk with, and it made the experience so much richer. And we felt like we had this place to be. But, you know, I would just say, as honest as you could be with, I mean, I wouldn't want to say, No, I would not have had you. Absolutely
right.
not. But
right.
to say, I am grateful that I have you.
Yes.
I can't tell you what I would have done.
Right.
If, you know, but I'm so glad that you are my daughter.
Well, and we're not ever able to live in the what ifs.
Right.
You know, whether it's adoption or, you know, had a miscarriage come full term.
Yeah.
We can never live in the what ifs. We don't know the whys.
Yeah.
We don't ever know the whys. You know, I think that we'll probably spend the rest of our time on this earth asking that why question. Why, God, why?
And we can really get hung up there. And especially with adoption,
yes.
as much as we can keep that communication mm-hmm. open, I think the healthier our relationship with our children can be.
I agree. And I just don't think that we can bat an eye at God's timing
mm-hmm.
in this,
right.
you know? And now granted, you know, if you're out there and you have recently had a miscarriage or you're dealing with infertility, I want you to hear that very lightly, because I mean that very lightly. It was years before I could come to grips with God's timing being perfect and being infallible. But it is, and you too will also come to that place, that posture. You know, I love in the Psalms, David returns to a posture of he can lament, he can be angry, but he returns every time to a posture of submission. And I think that that's what we have to do. You know, not in the moment, you're not going to feel that sense of submission, but you allow others to speak that truth to you.
And for us, the infertility that we went through, when mm-hmm. I knew at 16, it has changed the way we parent our children.
Wow.
Yeah.
It definitely, there's a, and I'm not saying people who birth their children don't have a deep appreciation.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But there was much we did not take for granted.
Right.
And
yes.
I think Andy Stanley yeah. in a sermon talked about how he was so frustrated. He kept coming home and there were toys blocking mm. the driveway and he could not get in and he was just getting angry.
Right.
And then he realized all the people he knows that would kill to have toys
yes.
blocking their
yes.
car coming in the driveway. And
agreed.
So I think it's given us a deep richness to parenting.
Yes.
Because we know what we almost didn't have.
I agree. And I think that kind of going back to that why question,
mm-hmm.
I think instead of asking why, and this kind of goes back to the husband, you know, who's looking for what to say,
mm-hmm.
instead of asking why or even trying to entertain that question with your wife, there are no answers. We do not know. Most likely you will not know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But instead of asking why, we could turn that to asking how.
Mm-hmm.
How is God going to use this? How is my life going to be different? How is my appreciation for children going to be changed through this? How am I going to be on a radio show 2 years later talking about my own infertility miscarriage story? You know,
right.
how, as opposed to the whys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are keys. You know, I mean, those are big, big keys for us. And I hate to kind of move, but I know we want to get some resources out.
Yes.
I want to make sure we don't miss
yeah.
that.
Absolutely.
So Alice, I know you as counselor extraordinaire making your monthly house call, though you missed last month, is here to give us a list of resources for this. So let's go through those so that our listeners can have some resources to go to.
Well, and if listeners bear with me, because I want to speak personally for a second too, personally, but also professionally.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, there were a couple of resources that were most meaningful to me. One is just a simple devotional book that was given to me years and years ago, had nothing to do with infertility, but has to do with when you're going through really, really crappy times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The devotional book is called Streams in the Desert.
Oh, yeah.
And it is wonderful. And again, there were so many times when I was too angry to pray and too upset to say anything. But there, having truth in front of me in small snippets
yeah.
mm-hmm.
was very, very helpful. So I would say Streams in the Desert is one. Another one personally that was great for me is called The Grief Recovery Handbook. The Grief Recovery Handbook.
Mm.
And I liked that one because it actually had some different activities that
yeah.
you could do. Uh-huh. And so whether it's, you know, miscarriages, or, again, it's just kind of talking about grief in general.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the activities that, that the book recommends is a grief timeline. And this was very, very healing for me, that you take a timeline of events. For me, it was going through all the infertility stuff, finding out that I was pregnant, having the first ultrasound, having the second ultrasound, you know, and so breaking down the timeline of events, because I think being able to name your griefs is a very important part in healing from grief. So once you have your timeline written out, the book encourages you to break that down into three different categories. And the categories are forgiveness, amends, and significant emotional statements. Again, those three things were forgiveness, amends, and significant emotional statements. So forgiveness, that taking each one of those things from the timeline and ask, what do you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive those people who made those stupid comments to you? Do you need to forgive those? Amends, what are the things that you need to apologize for yourself? You know, what are the times that you were feeling guilty because you were griping because you felt pukey all day,
right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Those kinds of things. How do you need to make amends with yourself? And then that third category was significant emotional statements. And that's anything that you needed to say. It can be anything. It can be black, white. It can be purple. It can be polka dotted. Anything that you needed to say. I was looking back again through mine last night, just then thinking about coming today, and just some of the statements, how I wanted to, I was speaking to my unborn child, how I wanted to hold you, how I wanted to love you, how I wanted to scratch your back. And, you know, those to me were significant emotional statements.
Yeah.
And so taking each of those timeline pieces and breaking them down like that and letting yourself take each one of those things, grieve it, cry about it, be angry about it, question it, and take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. I'm moving on to another book that is very, very sweet. It's called I'll Hold You in Heaven. And that's a very powerful book. I'll Hold You in Heaven. And then I think that probably my all-time favorite book, and y'all are going to laugh when I tell you this, but it's called Tear Soup. And I know that it sounds silly, and actually it's a very short book. But the illustrations are incredible. It's effective for any kind of grief that you're dealing with. But again, I think that when you're dealing with someone who's in the midst of such deep depression, long, heady conversations are not effective.
No.
Not there.
Right. Oh, yeah. Watch him just glaze
exactly,
over.
Exactly, exactly.
You do not understand me.
You don't understand, and shut up. You know, like, that's what I just remembered.
Stop.
If you preach to me one more time, just shut up.
Note to self, run away if I see you again.
Well, exactly. Alice, God will never give you more than you can
handle. Oh, yeah. Oh, see, stuff like that. Oh, makes me cringe. I just remember. But this book, Tear Soup, it has kind of a Christian twist to it, but it's not necessarily a Christian book. But it is fabulous. It's really, really good. And then there are a couple of websites. There is Hannah.org, and that is a Christian website for...
How do they spell Hannah? Is that with an H at the end?
Yes,
or no?
With an H at the
two
end.
Two ends?
Yes.
H-A-N-N-A-H.
Wow, spelling bee. Yay.
Thank you, Mrs. Chernoff.
Way to go. Yes, Hannah.org. That's a really good website. There is Mend.com. .org, M-E-N-D.
M-E-N-D.
Yes.
Mend.
And it stands for Mommy's Enduring Neonatal Death. And so that's another one. And then Resolve is a big national website. Not a Christian website, but you can, you know, go into chat rooms and forums and find some helpful resources and statistics
Resolve.org?
I want to say org. But I could be very wrong on that. It's
We're
either
good.
org or com, one of them. Does that help?
It's org.
Oh, good.
Yay!
Good.
Just like that.
Hooray! So I mean, all of those I think would be very good, helpful. So, do y'all have some that y'all have found?
Well, in general, talking about devotional books, Jesus Calling.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
love it.
I know. I read it and I'm like, how is this? Like, this seems like it's written for just this year, this day. How did this seem to apply to me last year? I mean, it's just
unbelievable.
It is. So, I mean, I love Jesus Calling. And we, a photographer friend, she had a son, tried, got pregnant, and was the night before she was to go in for a C-section. And she went out for, I think, Chinese that night. Everything was fine. Went to bed. The last time she felt her baby kick was 2 in the morning.
Oh.
I think it was 2.
Uh-huh.
And when they got to the hospital, I mean, she wasn't feeling kicks anymore, and the cord had strangled. But there's kick counting, and she's a huge proponent of kick counting.
Good.
And so just an option for those people. I mean, because you just feel your stomach and apparently count. And
So that's great to know. Yeah, those are helpful.
Very good. We're going to jump to break. We'll be right back for a quick segment. You're listening to Tao Prince Live on FamilyNetRadio.com. Sandra McCracken. Well played, Mr. Irby. Well played.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, this has been a serious dialogue tonight, but I think with that list of resources, that's fantastic. There's been some really good discussion in the live blog, too. And, you know, you just find out how prevalent this is. I mean, it is far more prevalent than we understand. And it's something that we need to be, you know, more merciful and gracious in dealing with. And we need to be seeking it out, too. We need to be, you know, a safe place. But, you know, no, they're not ready for a long conversation. Jeez. Or cliches. Just leave those at home. You know, I mean, because here's the best word of advice on that. You know, Job's friends were outstanding until they opened their mouths. just be there. Just be there and pray for your friends who are too angry, too upset, too depressed to pray. And then, you know, adoption is something that we are very, very passionate about, obviously. And if you think you can't have love for a child that is not biological, A, be thankful God doesn't have that same opinion of you. B, yeah, you can.
And I would say, too, if you've tried talking to friends or you just don't feel like there's no one I can go to. And even if you have friends, and if you're in Birmingham, come see Alice or someone else. But a good Christian counselor, that because they can put you in touch with resources in your community, too, so that you can find healthy resources. Because sometimes you can go to the wrong place for advice and get an extra dose of grief and shame.
Well, go to the wrong place or go to no place.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, both of which are you know, equally harmful.
Yeah.
That this is something that needs to be, it involved other people and it needs to include other people.
Yeah.
And so I think that making sure that you build that support system and support network.
And if you are in Birmingham, as many of our listeners are, as we know, 879-7500 Covenant Counseling. Ask for Alice Chernoff.
Thank you.
You will be glad that you did.
Thank you.
She is, I mean, truly, she is just one of the greatest, and we are very, very happy and fortunate to have her here on the show. Glad to have her. Glad you brought this topic up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Honestly, it's an honor. It really is an honor. It's an honor, you know. And I hope that you know, as we as Christians continue to walk through this, that we'll approach this topic as it is an honor.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking through the deepest, darkest pain that someone could go through, and it's an honor. You know, if you have been privy to this knowledge, then treat it with care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person most likely. A woman is not going to be rational at this time.
Hmm.
You know, physically, emotionally, hormonally, there's just nothing rational that's going on. But there will come a time that you can speak truth
right
to her.
Yes. And without being codependent, you can love her well with a Christ-like love.
Yes.
Don't try and fix her. Don't try and be the only person in her life.
Exactly.
But to love her well in one of those hormonal moments. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difficult concept for the guys. So I'm just going to go out on a limb there and say, you just love her well when she's being hormonal, we're checking out. We don't understand that.
Does anybody play in a video game or watch?
But see, that goes back to if you really knew how I was feeling, if you really see the real me, you wouldn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's good. That's helpful.
But when you can love the real woman,
hormonal,
the real
crazy, painful
husband that's grieving it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's good. Did it help you, man?
That was awesome. Yeah, that was really good.
Turn a little bit about you. Put a little of your addiction lingo back on you.
I like it.
Speaking my language.
I'm going to put some codependent language back on her. I feel like a fight was your turn on us.
Yeah. Really.
Anyway.
That's funny.
I'm going to let that go. We'll take that off air.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in that one.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. See the threats? You see how it is?
Hey, listen to this, Tal.
You see how it is. All right. Robert Randolph from the Family Band going to take us out. Thank you to Alice Chernock, counselor extraordinaire. We will be back here next week in your Pharisee-free zone at Tal Prince Live at FamilyNetRadio.com. Get the FamilyNet Radio app on your iPhone, and we'll see you next week.